Today's Shir Masechta Bava Bas, Sanhedrin Daf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Ches on the Beis, five lines from the bottom, Rapapa Omar. We had learnt in our previous Shir, actually we had learnt in the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Perek, a machloikis between the Rabbonon and Rabbi Yossi, between Rabbonon and Rameya, how many Dayanim are required for the entire of Moitzi Shemra, which, as we explained at the beginning of our previous year, certainly is not referring to a situation, can't be referring to a situation that it's a pure capital offense, and we're judging if this woman had an adulterous relationship and is obligated to be killed. Because under those circumstances, there's no question that there's a chiv of having a bezdin of 23 dayanim, like in all capital offenses. Al-Gemara is referring to referring to a different situation. And in our previous year, the Gemara already began to give a number of explanations. And actually, there's a total of eight different explanations on how to understand this machlokes of Ramei and Rabbanan. And now our Gemara is up to the fourth explanation. Rapapa says the machloikis between the Rabbanon and Rameya are referring to a woman, is a learned woman, this woman who perhaps had this adulterous relationship. The kamifkli, and the machloikis of Rameya and the Rabbanon and our Mishnah is the same machloikis but plukted Rabbi Yosi Yehuda Rabbanon. The same machloikis that we find between Rabbi Yosi Yehuda and Rabbanon. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braiser, Rabbi Yosi Yehuda Omer, Chaver Ein Tzarech Hasra. A person who's a Chaver, a person who's a learned person, even though we always learn, Hasra is a necessary component in order for somebody to receive a capital punishment. A Chaver, according to Rabbi Yosi Yehuda, it doesn't require such warning. Because it's to be understood, the purpose of Asra is to tell the person what you're doing is prohibited, and to tell them the difference between a shayig and a mezid, and the difference in punishment between a shayig and a mezid. And a chaver knows all of that. And machlaik is between our Mishnah, between Ramei and Rabbanan, will be the exact same situation. Ramei will hold that even a learned person requires Hasra, male or female. And in our Mishnah, the woman might have had an adulterous relationship, but she didn't have Hasra. And therefore, according to Rameyer, this will never be a capital case. It'll never be more than a mandatory case. And that's why three Dayanim are adequate. Whereas, according to Rabbanon, this can still be a capital case, even though there wasn't a Hasra. And therefore, according to Rabbanon, this is a capital case and 23 Dayanim are required. Actually, I saw the Mefarshim use this concept to answer a question that is really connected to what we discussed in our previous year. In our previous year, we discussed the Mekoshish Eitzim, who was Mechalal Shabbos. And as we discussed in our previous year, the reason the Mekoshish Eitzim did this Aveira, we explain, was to teach Klal Yisrael the severity of Chil Shabbos, and that somebody who's Mechal Shabbos is Mechuyiv Misa. But the Pasuk says that when the Mekoshish did the Aveira, they did not quite yet know what was the Oynish, the punishment for Chil Shabbos. And accordingly, the question is, how could he have been punished if he doesn't have a proper Hasra? But if we follow the opinion of Yosef Rabbi Yehuda that says that a chaver ain't tzarech hasra, we will understand that, as we did in our previous year, the Mekoshish was actually a great individual, a learned person, who didn't require hasra, and that's why, even though there wasn't a proper hasra, he was able to be put to death. Another pshat that I saw, because we have those that disagree with Rabbi Yosef Yehuda and say that everybody requires Asra, actually the opinion of Rameyer and our Mishnah, they will explain that the Mekoshish, there were interesting pshat that I saw. There were four pairs of Edom, and each pair of Edom gave him Asra for each one of the Arba Mises Bezdin. And therefore he was properly warned. Although that in itself is a question, because why is that not considered Hasra Sufik if it wasn't quite sure which Mises Mechulif? Ravashi gives a fifth explanation on how to understand the machloek between Ramei and Rabbanan. Kigoyim, this Rabbi Malkus Vayisber Ketala. As we will Mitzvashem learn in Masechta Makis, for a person, not every chayiv lav, obviously, is there a chayiv misa. Certain chayiv lav, and there's a chayiv malchus. But the halacha is that even if somebody did an aveira for which there is, rachman al tzlan, a chayiv misa, but instead of being warned that he'll get misa, he's warned that he gets malchus, the halacha is that he does get malchus. And that is the case of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is referring to a case where even though this woman had this adulterous relationship for which there is a chiyuv misa, she only was given a hasra for malchus. So now this is no more than a malchus situation. And the machloikis and our Mishnah therefore is the same machloikis that we have later in the Mishnah. The kumifik l'beplukta Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbanan, the machloikis of Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbanan, the tanan malchus b'shloisha. A Makkah's case is tried with three dayonim, Mishmol Mishmol, Amr Be'esim V'Shloisha. And therefore the Machlokes is as follows. Here she only got a straw for Malkus, and therefore she's not going to get more than Malkus. Ramea's opinion will be the same, that Malkus only requires a three-member Bezdin, whereas the Rabbanan's opinion is that a Malkus, Din Torah, requires a Bezdin of 23. Ask the Bach, the obvious question. So if so, we have the machloikis of how many dayonim are required for a malchus case repeated twice in our Mishnah. Why do we have the same machloikis twice? So he answers that if we only had this case of our Mishnah, we would say it's in this case where really it is a chiyuv misa. It's only because of a technicality that she's getting malchus. That's why you have the Rabbanu will hold you need to have a bezin of 23. But in a real Malkus case, it could be they'll hold the three dayanim is enough. On the other hand, it could well be that in a regular Malkus case, everybody will hold that three is enough, and it's only here that Rabbanu required 23. That's why the Mishnah mentioned it twice. It's also interesting to note that in this Machloikus of Maitzi Shemra, Ramei says three, Rabbanan say 23. Later in the Mishnah, by the case of Malkus, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is 23, and the unanimous opinion is 3. Poshipshat, we would learn, that who is the unanimous opinion? The Rabbanan. But that would cause a terrible inconsistency in the Mishnah, where in the beginning of the Mishnah, it seems that the Rabbanan hold you need 23 for Malkus cases, and at the end of the Mishnah, it seems that they hold you only need 3. So say to Mepharshim, those that follow this explanation of Mishnah will have to hold that the end of the Mishnah, when it says the Malkus is given out by three, recognizes that who is the three. They recognize that the three means the opinion of Ramea, not the opinion of Rabbanan, and Rabbanan were passing like Rabbi Shmuel that 23 are required. The next explanation of the Machloikus between Ramea and the Chachamim revolves around Kigoyin Ravina Amar, Kigoyin Shenutza Echem and Edim Kar Apostle, refers to a situation in one of the Edim who testified that this woman had this adulterous relationship turns out to be a Karav or Apostle, a Karav or Apostle aid for Kamifgi, and the Machloikis between the Rabbanan and Rameyer will mirror the Pluk de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Elibid Rabbi Kiva, the machlokes of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi, and how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Tanan, the Mishnah says in Masechta Makis, because the Mishnah begins with bringing the pasuk in the Torah that says Apishnai Edim or Shloisha Edim Yumas Hames. So the Mishnah asks, if the Torah is teaching us that two Edim, so certainly are enough, certainly three, why does the Torah say Oishlisha Edom? Learns from this the Tanakama that the Torah wants to be Makish three Edom to two Edim. Just like three Edim have the ability to be mazim two Edim, so too do two Edim have the ability to be mazim three Edim. Rav Shimon says, just like two aren't killed until both of them are Muslim, so three, if you have a situation of three Edim, they're not considered Edim Zomim to be killed if that's what they try to do to the person they were testifying against, until all three of them become Zomim. Rav Akiva disagrees. Rav Akiva says the Pasuk is not coming to teach us a leniency, that in order, like Rav Shimon says, for all of them to become Edim Zomim, we need to have all three of them becoming Edim Zomim. Rather, the Pasuk is teaching us that if they were Muslim, that if they were Muslim, all three are put to death. And I'll explain this a little more in a minute. The Tanan Rabbi Kiva Omer, by Bar Shlishi, the Torah, by mentioning the third aid, the purpose of the Torah mentioning the third aid is El Lachmar Lov, to teach us a Chumra. Las is Dinoi Kiyot Sebe'el. And there's two ways of understanding this. One way it means is as follows. That even though, as we just explained, two Edim are adequate, and therefore if two Edim were Muslim, even if the third Ed becomes Muslim, given that his testimony was completely superfluous, we would think that therefore he should not be punished, teaches us the Torah that he is punished. According to this understanding, the only time the third aid would be punished is if he was indeed Muslim. But if he wasn't Muslim, he wouldn't be punished. However, there are Rishayim that learn, according to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, even a greater Chumrah. That Rabbi Kiva is teaching us that the third aid that came along with the first two aidim, even though he personally was not Muslim, still the halacha is, since he's part of the group, and the first two Edim were Muslim, he too would also be Muslim. There is an interesting opinion of the Urim V'Tumim, that the Urim V'Tumim says that let's say there were four Edim, two were Muslim and two were not, then he says that everybody would agree that even the two that were Muslim would not be put to death. Because why should we give more credit and more consideration to the two that were Muslim? Why shouldn't we give more credibility or consideration to the two that were not Muslim? And therefore, Rabbi Kiva says the Urim V'Tumim, under such circumstances, would agree that the third that none of the Edim are Muslim. But again, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is Leibah Shlishi El Hachmar Lov. The third one is coming only to be Chumris. Last is Dina Kiyotz Be'ela, that he is treated like the other first two Edim. Again, according to most Rishonim, Rabbi Kiva certainly agrees to the opinion of the Tanakama. It's a question if he agrees with Rabbi Shimon that does the third one have to be Muslim to be punished, or does he not need to be Muslim? But certainly he's more machmer than Rabbi Shimon. Imkain, says the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva adds, Imkain onesh akosif, if the Torah takes such a strict law, to a strict view, as a nitloi ververa, kaverera, this third aid, who really doesn't play such a crucial role, that he's still considered a person did an avera, and certainly according to Rishonim, that he's punished, even if he isn't actually Muslim, we could very well understand Rabbi Kiva's comment. Alach su kama kama, she has shalom schar, certainly schar will be paid as a nitva loisim mitzvah kaisim mitzvah. Somebody who joins in with people who do mitzvah, since we know, meruba mida toiva, memrida pernis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always more lenient than he is strict. So if somebody joins Oyve Aveira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers him part of the group. Certainly somebody joins Oyse Mitzvah is considered part of the group. And in fact, I saw the Paiskim say, based on this statement of Rabbi Kiva, a question comes up, and it's very relevant, La'aloch L'maisa. We have a person, or even a group of people, who learn, spend a lot of time and effort in learning Torah, and they make a siyum, And people who never came to the shir all of a sudden participate in the siyum. And this question comes up, could a bechor who never participated in the learning join into a siyum on Erev Pesach, that it should be considered a siyum bechayrim and he shouldn't have to fast? Could someone who hasn't participated in the learning join in a siyum during the 9 days to be able to eat a meat meal? Say the Paiskim, based on our Gemara, if our Gemara says that a nitval over Avera is considered Kaivri Avera, certainly a nitval oisim mitzvah is considered oisim mitzvah, and therefore even if the person didn't actually learn, but he participates in the siyum, he's a nitval oisim mitzvah, he's considered oisim mitzvah, and he could certainly participate in the siyum and be able to eat Ner Pesach. And in fact, the place can go on to say that that's why at the siyum, the hadron that's said is said b'loshim rabim, it's said in the plural. But what is the case if somebody's making siyum, he learned by himself? How does he say the hadron b'loshim rabim? The answer is that the hadron is not just some sort of a nusach, some sort of a version of a tefillah that I say because I finished the mesechta. It's a tefillah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the entire group that's participating in the siyum, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us succeed in our learning. Rabbi Kiva continues with another halacha that's learned from this pasuk, and the question is umashnayim, and just like if you have two edim, ninza echemem kar apostle, and one of them is kar of apostle, the halacha is edusa betela, af shloisha, so too is the halacha by three edim, ninza echemem kar apostle, if one of them is discovered to be a kar of apostle, the day edusa betela, the edus is disqualified. How do you know if we even have 100 witnesses and one is found, one aid is found to be ineligible, that disqualifies the entire group? Tamaloyma aidim. Ask the Pnei Yeshua. We just use this pasuk, Rabbi Kiva just used this pasuk to teach us the halacha of anitbal over avera. How could he use it, this pasuk, to teach us the halacha of one is nimtza aidos kar of apostle? So the Pnei Yeshua answers that the pasuk, this din of Nimtza Echemem Kar Apostle, we learn from the words Yochim Dover. The Mashal says that we really don't need a pasuk to teach us this din of Nimtza Echemem Kar Apostle that disqualifies the Tayyadis. We could know it apisvara, logically. However, the Rif, in qualifying this halacha, says that this din of Nitzach Mehen, Kar of Apostle, is only when the entire, when we were aware, we the Eidim were aware that one of our group is a Kar of Apostle. If we weren't aware of that, then this halacha would not apply. However, most Rishonim disagree, and they say that this is an automatic halacha of Nitzach Mehen, Kar of Apostle, even if we weren't aware of it, it disqualifies the entire group. Furthermore, the Tashbatz points out that let's say we have, and this is a very possible question, what would be the halacha? We have two edim. We have two edim by a wedding, let's say, and they're both 100% kosher edim. Later on, one of those edim becomes posel. Will that disqualify the wedding? Will that disqualify the kedushin? Of course, that will not disqualify the kedushin, because we only need them to be a kosher group for as long as the edus takes. So if the edus at the wedding takes those couple of minutes of being under the chuppah, for those couple of minutes they have to be kosher. The fact that later on one of them becomes posel, when that, it doesn't have any effect on the kashrus of the edus. Furthermore, the Rishonim debate that what will be the halacha if we have a group of edim signed on a shtar, and one of them is identified to be a kar of apostle? Will that disqualify the shtar also? So Taisu says that if the person who's a kar of apostle is signed at the top, at the bottom of the signatures, so it seems to be that the people on top of his signature were aware of him being there, ready to be an aid, and therefore it would disqualify the shtar. It could well be if he signed first, it could be that the later Eidim weren't there yet, and therefore it wouldn't disqualify. Other Rishonim say that this thing that we're learning, Nitzachem Kar Apostle, that disqualifies the Thai group, is only said regarding a situation of Eidus of Ria, or Eidus of giving testimony, not Eidim Bishtar. Amr Rabbi Yossi. Continues Rabbi Yossi in explaining this opinion of Echemem Kar Apostle, and this is where we have the Machlokes of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi. The Medvar Memurim, where did this halacha of Mitzachemem Kar Apostle, Eidusim Bepteilah, apply Bedin and Nefashis, strictly Bedin and Nefashis, Av Bedin and Mominis, Teskayim Eidus Bishar? The Eidus, the other Eidim, can still be considered valid Eidim. Why does Rabbi Yossi differentiate between Dini Nefashis and Dini Mominis? So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat I saw in the Rishonim is because by Dini Nefashis, the Torah says Vitzilo Ha'eda. We have to go out of the way to try to get an acquittal. And therefore we have this technicality, the Nitzach Mem Karv Apostle, the halach is that disqualifies the entire Eidus. However, we don't have such a halacha, obviously, by Dina Nefashos. And as Rishonim explained, because there's not such a thing that it's an acquittal, because what is good for one litigant is bad for the other litigant, and so too vice versa. So there's no halacha of Nitzach Mem Karv Apostle. Another reason is, because the Rishonim explained, we find that by Eidus of Dina Mamnis, even one aid has some power, because even though one aid can't be enough of an Eidus, one aid can be Mechayev Shvua. So since one aid has this ability, that's why Dinei Mamnis are treated differently than Dinei Nefashis. Furthermore, the Shagas Aryeh says a very interesting psak. He says, according to the first explanation, that the only reason we say Nimtz Echmem Karv Apostle by Dinei Nefashis a do some betailers, because we always look for an acquittal. Perhaps sometimes it's to the benefit of the person that we should not nullify the Eidus. For example, let's say you have two Eidim saying that a woman had an adulterous relationship, and we know this woman to be an Eishes Ish. And now we have another group of Eidim that says no. When she was having this relationship, she was not an Eishes Ish. And it's a group, let's say, of three Eidim. And one of those Eidim, then, it turns out to be a Karav Apostle. By applying the concept of Eidah Shabbat Mekzah Shabbat L'Kula, should be put to death. So it turns out that using this concept will cause actually a conviction. And according to our first explanation of Rabbi Yossi, we only use this concept of Eidah Shabbat Mekzah Shabbat L'Kula to create an acquittal, not to create a conviction. Rabbi, however, disagrees with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, and he says, Echad dinei mominis v'echad dinei nefashis, the halacha is one possible aid disqualifies the entire group. However, b'med v'emesai, when was this said? B'zman shahesu behem, that all of the people of all of the Eidim had given warning together. If they didn't give warning all at the same time, so if this Pasla A did not give warning, he is not considered a member of the group. He is not considered a member of the group that would invalidate the entire group. What forces him to say this? Because if we're not going to say this, what would two brothers do? What will happen when we have two brothers and a third individual see somebody kill a person? According, if we're going to say that they automatically become a group, and automatically, since one of them is apostle aid, the apostle, because two brothers can't say testimony together, does that mean that this murderer will always go free? Rather, he says that only if they join together as a group, because they gave a straw together, will the fact that one of them is apostle aid invalidate the entire group. So now, says the Gemara. The machlokes in our Mishnah between the Rabbanan and Rameya is the same as the machlokes of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan. The Rabbanan agree with Rameya, the Rabbanan agree with Rebbe, that the inclusion of a karv or pasul doesn't automatically invalidate the group unless the pasul aid was the one that gave hasra. So in the case of our Mishnah, where if the pasul aid did not give hasra, the testimony of the other Edom is still valid, and therefore it's going to be a capital case, and 23 Dayanim will be required. Rameyer, however, agrees with Rabbi Yossi that if one of the Edom in the set is invalid, that the entire group becomes pasul, even if the person who's not a kosher aid didn't give hasra. And therefore, in Rameya's and that's what Rameya holds, and therefore this can no longer be considered a dine nefashis. It's only a dine mominus, and three edim will be enough. It's interesting that the Paiskim discuss at great length this halacha about edish batlam ktsasa batlam kula. The Rambam says that we are not to understand our Gemara that if somebody happened to observe a murder and he's not a valid witness, the halacha will be that automatically that murderer can't be put to death. The halacha rather is that the aid pasul disqualifies his other aidim only if they're all deemed as participants in the same group. When, for example, there are a number of kosher edim who observe the murder with the intent to testify, so they are considered their own individual group, and the eight apostle who happened to have seen what happened but he had no intent to testify, according to the Rambam, will not be considered part of the group, and his seeing the murder will not be a reason to disqualify the entire group. Tosfos says that the essential question is to look not as much if he intended to be part of the group, but more so to look if he wanted to exclude himself from the group. And if this person clearly intended to exclude himself from the group, then certainly the halacha will be that he's not considered an aid to disqualify the rest of the group. The Shach says, when we have a case that none of the people present had intent to testify what they observed, says the Shach, that if there is no special group of Edim who intended to testify, so then everybody, given that there was no intention to create a group of Edim, will be considered a group. The lack of a group making themselves into a specific group means that everybody is considered in the pool of Edom, and the halacha of Edish Batl Mitzos Batl Kula will apply. And therefore says the Ktsois, based on the Shach, and this is the meaning of many Mesadri Kedushin, that if two Edom, when we have a Kedushin, when we have Edom, and we know that a Kedushin could only be effective when we have two Kosher Edom, if we would have a situation, according to the Shach, says the Tzois, that none of the guests were expressly designated to be Edom, so what would happen is that everybody seeing the wedding would automatically become a group of Edom. And certainly at a wedding, it's quite common that there's going to be relatives to the Chassan, to the Kala, other Pasul Edom, and that would invalidate the entire Edus. So the right thing to do, therefore, is to expressly be miyachid, expressly say that these two people that are being appointed to be Edom are being appointed to be Edom to the exclusion of everyone else, and therefore they become their own self-contained group, and therefore if they're kosher Edom, the issue that there are other people who are here at the wedding who are not kosher Edom will not invalidate this Edus. It will not be a situation of Edish Batum Ktsasidat Lekula. Another way of explaining the machlokes between Rameya and the Rabbanan, Kigoy shebeser ba'achirim v'lo hisser ba'edim. It was other individuals who gave that surah, but not the edim themselves. The kamifkli and the machloikis in our Mishnah, and the machloikis of Rabbi Yosi v'rabbonim. That not Rabbi Yosi loylam ain't a herik. The halacha is that a person who's a murderer is not killed until the two edim themselves give him asrah. Shnema pishnaim edim. So therefore, the machloikis between in our mission between Rameya and Rabbanan is the same machloikis between Rabbi Yosi. According to the, and we'll have a situation where there was edis, there was asrah by someone other than the edim. According to Rabbanan, it will be a valid hasra, and therefore will be a capital case, and therefore 23 dayanim required. Rameya, however, agrees with Rabbi Yosi, who holds that it has to be given by the edim, and since it has to be given by the edim, that the hasra has to be given by the edim, and the edim say that they didn't give such an hasra, they didn't give hasra, it's not a capital case, it's only a monetary case. The problem with this pshat is that we learned at the beginning of the sugya in the yesterday's shir, there's a concern of choshen alaz. We need to be concerned that maybe Aiden will show up. So even though, as we explained in our previous shir, in a situation where the Aiden were Muslim, there's no reason to be concerned that other Aiden will come. In a situation such as this, we do have to be concerned perhaps that other Aiden will come. And why is Rameya therefore sure that this is only a monetary case? Answer the Rishonim in explaining the opinion of Rameya. That Rameya is of the opinion that the case here is where the Edom said, we were the only people that saw this event. And we didn't give Asra. And therefore, since the Edom expressly say that this is what happened, Rameya says there is no reason to be concerned that other Edom are going to come and say that we saw what happened and we gave proper Asra. An eighth and final explanation of the Machlokes of Rameya Rabbanan. We know the halach is that when Edom come to say testimony, they have to be quizzed. They're quizzed with bedikas and they're quizzed with chakirus. Chakirus are seven standard questions that are always asked. Bedikas are specific questions for this case. And the case of our Mishnah says this pshat is going to skach shvabedikas versus skach shvachakiris. Both Edom were consistent when they were questioned with the chakiris, but they contradict each other by the bedikas. And the machloikas of Rameya and Rabbanan mirrors the machloikas of Ben Zakkai and Rabbanan. The Tanan, Maisa Bodik Ben Zakkai Bokzitainim. There was once where murder took place under a tree, and the question was, they asked the Edom, were the stems of the figs of that tree thick or thin? And the Edom contradicted each other. Ben Zakkai said that the fact they contradicted each other invalidated their Edom. Whereas the Rabbanan hold that since it was only in the Bedikas, not in the Chakiris, the Edom was still a kosher, the testimony was still a kosher testimony. So if so, the Machlokes Rameya and Rabbanan is the exact same. Rameya holds the opinion of Ben Zakkai that such an edus is null and void, and therefore it's not going to be a capital case, it's only a monetary case. Three dayanim are enough. The Rabbanim say this is still a capital case, and that's why 23 dayanim are required. It's interesting to note that the Yad Ramah says that even though we're saying that iskachish, that the opinion of the Rabbanim is that iskachish bebedikis, the edus is still a kosher edus, that's only in a situation where the bedikas are not an essential question. But in a situation where the question is an essential question, for example, if it speaks like to what was the murder weapon, even though it's not one of the chakiris, there everybody will agree, even the Rabbanan, that if the Edom contradict each other, they become null and void. Amar Rabbi Yosef, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef says, Hevi about Edom Shazinsa. If the husband brought Edom that the wife had an adulterous relationship, and then the father brought Edom, v'zimum l'edei habal, that were mazim these Edom. And we know the halacha the Torah teaches us is v'sisim loy kash zomim lasis lachif edei habal. So the halacha is the edei habal of naharogim, because they wanted to cause this person to die, v'enam sham mamim, but they also wanted to make this woman lose a ksuba payment, and for that they won't be held responsible. This is Rashi's pshat, because we know there's halacha of kimle b'drabim b'nei. And Kimmel Levit Rabbi Nei says that when a person is obligated to two punishments, we only give the bigger punishment, and that's why these Edom Zomim are killed. They're not just, they don't have to pay money. This is the pshat of Rashi. The Rashbam says that it's referring to the Knas. The halach is that if a husband is, we said before, in our previous year, that if a husband is Mazbin, is Maitri Shemra, husband is Maitzi Shemra, he has to pay Knas. Here we're referring that these Edom Zomim, since they're going to get killed, they're not going to have to pay Knas. Certainly when we continue the Gemara, Chazer Vehevi Edom, Chazer Vehevi Baal Edom Azim Edelav. Now if the husband was successful in bringing Edom, they were Mazim the Edeav. So now the halach is Edeav Naragim Meshalma Mammon. The father's witnesses will be both put to death and will have to pay money. The testimony in the father's Edom's testimony would have resulted in the execution of the husband's first set of witnesses, and it also would have resulted in the husband have to pay 100 shekel to the father, and therefore they have to pay the money and get killed. I kimle b'drabanei. Here we don't say kimle b'drabanei because the chiv momin and the chiv nefashis are to different parties. The obligation of paying the money is what they wanted to do to the husband, that he should have to pay the knas. The obligation for misa is what they wanted to do to the husband's edim. And even though we say kimle b'drabanei, we don't say kimle b'drabanei in a situation explained the Rishonim and understanding of Gemara with obligation from two different, stemming to two different people. In our case, the husband and the father. What about the ksuba? So the Rishonim answer, we're not concerned about the ksuba. We're only concerned about the knas. We're not concerned about the ksuba, because as we said earlier, the halach is v'loy siyel isha, that they have to remain together anyway. So since they have to remain anyway, the entire purpose of paying a ksuba is shleite kalbein of loitzio, that a husband shouldn't be quick to divorce his wife. But this husband can't divorce his wife anyway, and that's why there's no din of ksuba payment that has to be reimbursed here. The Rishonim ask, the Gemara says in Masechta Baba Kama, that if somebody was chasing somebody else to kill him, and on the way of chasing him, he tore somebody's clothing, even though the misa was to one person and the mamma was to another person, we still say kimle b'drabanei. How do we reconcile our Gemara that says when it's a situation of mamma l'zeh, when the fashat l'zeh, we don't say kimle b'drabanei? So some Rishonim actually say that there's a machlokes between our Gemaras. Other Rishonim suggest that there is referring to a roidif. In a situation of a roidif, everybody is considered a victim. Because a roidif, everybody's allowed to kill. And therefore, it's not like our case, where it's a private affair between the father of the girl and the husband and the woman and the eidim. And therefore, we can't bring a raya from that case. Another pshat is as follows. Our Gemara is speaking about Edom Zomimim. Yes, normally there's a concept of kimle b'drabanei, which we've learned many times, is a very strong concept. However, our Gemara is referring to the situation of Edom Zomimim. But Edom Zomimim, since there's a din of a sisu l'kasha zomim l'asas lachiv, so if the punishments are to the same person, we apply the concept of kimle b'drabanei. Otherwise, we don't apply the concept of the kimle b'drabanei, and we say to each party they have to give their punishment. But Rabbi Yosef continues the Gemara. Says Rabbi Yosef, if somebody walks into bed and says Prani Ravani Rava L'Antzai, that somebody sodomized me, which is a capital case, against my will. So the halach is Hu V'Acher Mitzdarf from Lahargai. He could combine with somebody else's testimony to have the sodomizer put to death. It's interesting. Tosfos says, how can we say that he could be an aid to have this person put to death? Isn't he certainly an enemy of the person who did such a terrible thing to him? Says it's not so quick to say that we identify as a person as a possible aid because they're enemies. However, if the victim says it was Lurit Sinai, so we have a situation of Russia who, Vatara Amal Tashis Russia aid, a Russia is not kosher to be an aid, and therefore, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, he would be completely disqualified. Rav Amma, Rav says a person can't say that he's a apostle aid, that he did something wrong, because the halacha is Adam Karva Etzel Atzmai, Mein Adam Meisim Atzmai Rasha. A person can't declare that he did an avera. Machlokes have mefarshim. Why is there a halacha of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmai Rasha? Some say it's a din in Eidus, that if I can't say Eidus about myself, and saying I can't say Eidus myself. Others say it's a special din in of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmai Rasha. Mechas Chinuch says, what is the nafkamina between these two pshatim? Mechas Chinuch suggests, what will be the halacha by a goy? By a goy, there's no din of kerva, of relationship. So according to the explanation of the reason Ein Adam Meisim Atzmai is because a person is karva etzel atzmai, that will imply by a goy. But if the halacha is that Ein Adam Karva Etzel, that the din is, it's a special din of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmai Rasha, says the Mechas Chinuch would apply by a goy also. The Rishonim also ask that isn't the halacha that somebody's considered a apostle or aid only in a situation of aid de chamas, where he testifies that he did an avera that involves stealing money. Here, he didn't do an avera of chamas. He did an avera of sodomy, of erva, but not of chamas. So some Rishonim explain that aid de chamas doesn't mean only when there's monetary gain. Whenever somebody did an avera that for pleasure, it's considered aid the chamas. Others say that actually a rush of the chamas only involves a case where a person said aidus regarding a monetary situation. However, even though it only applies to the situation of monetary, regarding the actual avera that the person did, there the halacha will be that he's a part, that as far as that is concerned, he's considered apostle aid if he said that he did this avera. And therefore, Rav is teaching us that a double chiddush. Number one, he's saying that even though he's believed under Reveya, doesn't mean he's believed regarding himself. And on the other hand, we don't say that since he's not believed regarding himself, he's also not believed regarding the person who did the revia, he won't be believed regarding himself, but he is believed regarding the other person. That's the opinion of Rabbi Rava. The Rava is of the opinion Palgin and Dabura. We divide his statement into two. Rabbi Yosef disagrees. How do we understand Rabbi Yosef's opinion? The easy way, as the Shari Yosha says of understanding Rabbi Yosef's opinion, is that he doesn't subscribe to the concept of Palgin and Dabura. And either we believe his entire statement, or we don't believe his entire statement. But the question is, if Rabbi Yosef doesn't subscribe to the concept of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmai Rasha, as the Noi de Behuda, so why don't we believe his statement? Says the Noi de Behuda, that even though we don't believe his statement, he still can't say, there's no concept of Ein Adam Meisim Atzmai Rasha, there's still a concept you can't say Eidus about yourself. And therefore, we can't trust this entire statement that's being made. Furthermore, the Rishonim differentiate how the statement was made. Because we learned the Gemara in Masechta Ksubis. The Gemara says, if two Edom came in and said, regarding their signatures on a shtar, they said, Ksav Yedeinu Huzeh, Avla Nusum Hayinu Machmas, Momen, they believed. They say Anusim Ayinu Machas Mefashas, they believed. They say Anusim Ayinu Machas Mamen, they're not believed. Why don't we say Palgina Debura? So there are many answers given. But the answer that I want to focus on is that it matters how the statement is made. And therefore, in our Gemara, where the statement is Proini Ravoi Loinsoi or Proini Ravoi Ritsoinoi, where it's possible to make a period after the words Ploini Rava, he's saying testimony that somebody did this Avera. The fact that he was the victim And the fact that he was a victim has no bearing on the validity and the ability of there being a statement Pliny Ravai that this person did such an aveira, and therefore we could say Pagin in the Bura. But in a case that the sentence, that the statement is made in a way that it can't be divided in two, everybody will agree that we don't, even Rava will agree that we don't say Pagin in the Bura. The Pasuk says, Ha'oshel lo yarba, v'adal lo yamit b'machtes ha'shekel. So the Sfarim explain, Ha'oshel lo yarba. A person's a usher, a person who thinks he's great, lo yarba, shouldn't think that he's so great, that he shouldn't overplay and over-exaggerate the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that he does. Vadal, and the person who's poor in mitzvahs, even though he's maybe not that great and is doing mitzvahs and learning Torah, lo yamit, he's not allowed to say less than what he does. We just learned in our Gemara, ein odom meisim atzma roshah.